Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Joshua chapter 1, verse 11. Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victual. Somebody say, get yourself ready. For within 3 days, 72 hours, you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. This is the fifth and final installment of the series, Possess, Living in the Promised Land. Before you're seated, just turn to your neighbor and tell them this is the time for you to see what you've said, for you to hold what you've prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For the entire month of January on Sundays at 11, I've been preaching on Own the Vision, Wednesday nights, kind of as a complimentary series on Possess. God has given all of us vision. God has given us all promises. Now, I'm very quick while I'm preaching about the promises of God to remind you that God has made 6,000 promises to every believer. That was a good place to say amen. If you're a believer, there is 6,000 promises in your Bible that are directed for you. Those promises, the Bible says, are exceedingly precious promises. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, but that his promises are yes and amen. So that means that every one of us in this room has at least 6,000 promises to stand on, to glean from, to pray, to declare, to see, to hold, to live, to experience. And that alone is enough to get your shout on a Wednesday night or any other day of the week. But God reminded me, he said, Brandon, all 6,000 of those promises are for every believer. But he said, I've got thousands more that are just for you. I got thousands more that are for Sister Wanda. I got thousands more that are specific to Sister Tammy Green. And when I start thinking about the 6,000 that are for all of us, and then I start thinking about the thousands that are just for me, promises that he's made for my children, promises that he's made for my hand, promises that he's made for my future, I get excited about everything that God has told me. But the sobering responsibility that comes with God's promise and my possessing that promise quickly kicks in, that God is not going to dump all of his blessings into our lap in 2020. Number one is we have to do something to make sure that God knows that I'm not treating you like a sugar daddy, that you're not Santa Claus and you're not a genie in a bottle, but I'm in relationship, God, with you because I love you, not because of what you can do. I've fallen in love with your face and your presence, not just your hand and what you can do for me. And then the other thing that we have to realize as believers is before we can possess the promise, we have to prove to God that we are mature enough to handle the promise. That God, what you give me in 2020 is not going to crush me. It's not going to injure me. It's not going to pull me out of the will of God. Come on, some of the greatest gifts in our life is not the answered prayers, it's the unanswered prayers. I'm glad that Brandon, me, myself, did not get all the silly prayers I prayed when I was 18. I'm glad that I didn't get her. I'm glad that I didn't get that. I'm glad that God knew exactly what I needed and when I needed it, and so I have to understand, God, I'm going to do my part in this process. I'm going to have faith, but I'm going to work and prepare to possess. But also, God, I'm going to make sure that I am mature enough to handle what you give me. The last session we talked about Joshua chapter 1, and the four times in Joshua chapter 1, I believe it's verses 6, 7, 9, and 18, where the phrase be strong and courageous or some derivative of that phrase is used. The first three times in verses 6, 7, and 9 that be strong and courageous or very strong and very courageous is used, it is God speaking to Joshua, speaking to man. And so when God says, Joshua, you need to remind all of these great folks that I brought out of Egypt, that I kept in the wilderness, and that I'm getting ready to roll back the Jordan River so they can go to the promised land, You need to remind them that I'm doing everything I can do, but they're going to have some strength and they're going to have some courage. Why? Because I'm going to prepare the way, but they're still going to have to walk it out and they're still going to have to possess. Remember, God says that he will order our steps, but every day I have to lift up my foot and put my foot in that step. God is not going to order the steps and then put me in a cart and push me through life. God says, I will order the steps. I'll make the crooked path straight, but you're going to have to walk it out. Come on, you're going to have to live it. You're going to have to do what I've called you to do. And so God says, Joshua, remind them, and he says it three times, make sure they know that all that I've done to get them to this point is great. All that I've got planned for them in their future is amazing, but they're going to have to shake off fear. They're going to have to get strong. They're going to have to get courageous because there's some Goliaths, there's some big boys, there's some bad things in front of them, but remind them that their strength and courage combined with my promise is going to make sure that they get all the way through. So the first three times is from God to Joshua to the people. The last time in verse 18 is the people talking back to Joshua or talking back to Joshua and letting God listen in that we are courageous and that we are strong. This is where the people of God finally say, all right, God, we have heard what you've said to us. Now we are going to talk back to you. I love when God talks to me, but something happens when the people of God start talking back to God. And not in a whining, not in a begging way, but God, we have heard you loud and clear. And what you have told us to do, I've heard what you've said, I have become that. And so whenever you're ready to roll back the Jordan River, whenever you're ready to roll back the Red Sea so that I can go through to where you've called me to go, I am ready. There's a difference between pre-promise and pre-possession. Most of us live between, in no man's land, between promise and possession. It is very frustrating to live in that area too long. Because knowing the promise, seeing the promise, smelling the promise is not as good as living in the promise and possessing it. And so a lot of believers come to a church like this and you hear our sister's testimony about what God did on her job. And then last Wednesday night, our friend Sterling gave his life to Jesus Christ. And you say, I'm grateful for him, but what about my son? And what about my family? And so we're always cognizant of the promises of God. But if you live so long where you're cognizant of the promises and you hear them and you see other people receive them, but you never possess, the devil loves to use that to get you frustrated. But can I encourage you, don't compare your journey with my journey. Don't compare your journey with the person that's sitting across the aisle. It is your faith and your faith alone that is going to get you from the promise to possession. And so when God does something good in your life, I don't shake my head. I throw my hand up in the air and say, God, I thank you for doing that in him. I thank you for doing that in them. And God, I am a faithful man of God, and I know it's just a matter of time before the promise turns into me possessing what you've called me to have. So the people of God talk back in verse 18, and they said, we will only be strong and of good courage. I love how God gave me this next statement. Promise happens when God talks to us. That's why you ought to talk to God every day. Because everything that God says is dripping full of life. Everything that God says, even his rebuke and correction and reproof is given to build life in me. See, as a parent, sometimes we have to have these difficult conversations with our children. And it's not because we're wanting to be some bad dad. It's because we're wanting to instill something in them that is going to cause them to grow to the level so that we can bless them and pour into them. Can I encourage you today that every time I've talked to God, sometimes he is reiterating the promises of God. And man, I get so excited and there's so much life and my faith surges in those moments. But sometimes God is thumping me on the head saying, what's wrong with you, boy? Why is it taking you so long to get your... And in those moments, I can cower, I can pout, I can whine, I can go sit in the corner, or I can say, God, you love me. And so if you are rebuking me, you are trying to get me to a level that I need to be so that you can bless me at that level. I don't want to be blessed like I was 10 years ago. I want to be right where you've called me to be. We have a lot of people at Living Way that want accountability. calls come in almost every week. We're looking for accountability. We're looking for mentorship. And all that sounds really nice until you mentor someone. Because accountability is me not amening and stroking your ego and saying everything you're doing is great. True accountability is going to snap you back when you're making a bad decision. Is going to question your motives, why you said that, why you did that. Is going to tell you that that last thing you did or said was wrong. And it is in those moments when people say, well, nobody can tell me what to do. Only God can judge me. No, listen, you asked me to judge you when you said you wanted me to be your accountability. And your. Let me tell you something. Everything that God says to you should not make you feel good about your situation. Sometimes it should snap you back to attention and say, God, what I'm doing, how I'm living is not right. And if I ever expect to possess in the promised land, I'm going to have to become holy as you are holy. God will not bless a mess. God will not promote a mess. God will not do things in us that we are not ready for. And so if you are ready to possess, you are going to have to live a life, as Romans says, that is holy and acceptable unto God. I'm ready. So Jesus comes back in the second coming, rapture, Thessalonians talks about it. Jesus comes back like when we hide and go, ready or not. But you know, every other time in our life, God does not come back unless we're ready. God does not bless someone who's not ready. You say, well, I received a promotion. Every promotion is not from God. You say, well, I received this relationship, and man, she's good for me. Every good thing is not a God thing. I want to make sure that I am smack dab in the middle of God's will. I want to make sure that God is rehearsing his promises to me. So when God starts talking to me about his promises, I am saying, God, I hear you loud and clear. But hearing God and then speaking the promise back to God is something completely different. Check this out. God said, my word will not return to me void. It will accomplish. God said, his word does not return to him void. That means God's word works not on the trip in, but on the trip back out. Come on now. So when I declare the word of God and you declare the word of God, now the word of God is going back. It's on the return trip. God's promise is that when you speak the word on the return trip out of your mouth, back into the heavens, out of your mouth, to what you have focused it here on earth, God said, it is when you release my word that the promise that it will not return void goes into effect. And so I'm here to tell you, get all the promises you can from God. Tune your ear to what God is saying, but understand this, there is a power in believers that hear the word of God, understand the word of God, meditate the word of God, but oh, there is something to be said when you square your shoulders back and you start declaring the word of God, you start speaking the word of God. Mountains move not when you think, not when you meditate. Mountains move when you speak the word of God. So God's promises, when God talks to us, but when we talk back to God, it's possession. Good place to say amen right there. When God talks to every, well, God's not talking to me. No, you're not listening. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Some of the greatest things God has spoken to me were not listened, were not heard through audible ears and through audible sounds. It was a spiritual thing that God was leading me and directing me and speaking into my spirit. And so when God talks to us, man, we get excited. The promises of God are yes and amen. There's 6,000 of them in his word. There's thousands of others that he's spoken into us. But when we begin to talk back to God, God is saying, now there is a possessing believer. They are saying back to me what I told them. When the people of God said, we are strong and courageous, he said, all right, Joshua, you better tell them they've got 24 more hours because this time tomorrow, I'm going to do wondrous things among them. God is waiting not for a preacher to preach to you, not for you to walk an aisle. God is waiting for you to talk back. That's why Paul would say in Romans, we are saved by the confession of our mouth. Satan believes and trembles, but he refuses to speak. He knows he's God. but he refuses to speak it. I'm here to tell you, knowing who God is great. You knowing that God knows who you is great. Knowing who you are is great. Knowing a few scriptures is great. But when you understand in faith, I receive the promises of God, and now I'm going to unleash and declare that thing in the spirit. Now God knows I heard him loud and clear. And if I didn't hear him loud and clear, God can redirect. God can fix whatever I said that is wrong. But how many of you know that mountains truly begin to move when the people of God begin to speak? You have not because you ask not. In 2020, it's you have not because you ain't saying nothing. When we begin to speak as the people of God, when God speaks to us, it is promise. When we start talking back to God, it is possession. Any word that comes out of our mouths that is not the word of God or faith is wasted word that could have been used. Gossip, wasted word. Running your mouth, talking smack, wasted word. You talking about your boss, wasted word. You talking about your ex-spouse, wasted words. You talking about this president, the last president, or the next president, unless you're praying for him, wasted words. You talking about your pastor, wasted words. You talking about the person that you shook hands with, but you've been talking about him all week long last week. Listen, wasted words. If you're going to, oh, come on, even Disney preached to us back with Bambi and Thumper and said, if you can't say anything nice, then don't say anything at all. I know that's not a scripture, but it's a good principle to live in, that the next time I want to say something that is not faith, that is not word, I'm going to shut my mouth. Why? Because if I'm going to take all the time to speak and formulate words and use my brain and my creativity to come up with something, I'm going to create worlds, not destroy them. I'm going to possess, I'm not going to push it farther. Every time we speak something that is not the word of God and not in faith, we push the promise back. We can make 5 steps on a Wednesday night forward. We can make 1 word on Thursday morning and take 10 steps back and wonder why we're farther the next Wednesday than we were today. All because we've wasted our words. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, speak the word. Tell them, speak faith. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent unto Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land of Jericho, and they went to a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. And this, a lot is happening in days, 72 hours, Joshua 1. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. The king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that have come to see thee, which are entered into thy house, for they come to search all the country. I got a question for you rhetorically. How is it that Rahab knows why they're there? How is it that the king knows why they're there? How is it that the servants that serve the king that went and told on the spies, how is it that they know that the spies are there? How is it that everybody around the spies knows the plan of God, the will of God, and what God has promised? Because when God promises something, he'll tell everybody, because God knows that there is no force on the face of the earth that can stop the promise of God for your life but you. There is no trade secrets in the kingdom of God. When God says you're blessed, he'll tell your worst enemy, he'll tell your boss, he'll tell your spouse, he'll tell your children, he'll tell your pastor, he'll tell everybody. Why is it that? Because there's nobody that can stop our God. There is nobody. Let me tell you something. When you get sick, the devil knows God wants to heal you. The devil knows that God has promised healing for you. He'll even tell the doctor. And that's why the doctors start making excuses like, well, we don't know, and there was a mistake in the lab. There wasn't no mistake. Everybody knew what my God was coming in to do. Can I tell you, why is it that the devil knows? Why is it that your enemy knows? Why is it that God knows? Why don't we act like we know? When God gives us a promise, we ought to walk that promise out. You're not going to see me looking disheveled. You're not going to see me with shoulders slouched, looking down at the ground, hoping God shows up in time. If God said it, then I believe it, and that settles it. If he said it in 1990 and it still hasn't come to pass, Remember, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is to us to God as a day. And if God said it, he is going to bring it to pass. Somebody say amen. God has told your enemies in 2020 that your time is almost up. God has told the enemies of February, your time is almost up. He's told the devil, you had all these plans for my child in February, but January's almost up. And when my child gets into this area, he is going to be ready to possess. She is going to be standing on the promises of God. God has told your enemies in 2020, your time is almost up. My people are almost ready to possess. God knows. Your enemy knows. And we've got to act like we know. We've got the greatest God that has ever been. There is nobody like Jehovah. He has done so much for us. He's not leaving us behind. Greater than these works shall we do. There is greater in front of us than that which is behind us. I'm celebrating all that God has done for me, but I'm anticipating all that God has promised in front of me. Verse 4, and the woman took the two men and hid them and said, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they are. Let me encourage you with this. There's somebody sitting here tonight that your entire prayer this year for the last 4 weeks is, God, I need help. God, I'm looking around my life and I don't see who I need. And God, I'm going to need help to fulfill this vision and to possess that promise. That's a big promise. I'm going to need help. Can I encourage you that what God is going to do in 2020 is so big that he's not going to be able to do it with the help that you see. He's not going to be able to do it with the help that you've known. God has somebody on the inside of the promised land that is waiting for you. God has somebody on the inside of your tomorrow, somebody you have never met, I declare. I prophesy, somebody you've never laid your eyes on. And in the next 11 months, they're going to come walking, strolling into your life. And this time next year, you're going to look back and say, that was a God thing, because I didn't know that sister, I didn't know that brother, but somewhere out of nowhere, here they came. Just like Rahab. And can I tell you that it's not going to be a person that looks like they can help you. God could have used anybody, but he used a prostitute. Check this out. Read between the lines of this account. The king says, you send me those two men that came to you. Why do you think the king thought they'd come to her? Not for hiding. The harlot. The prostitute. She's messed up. Can I just, I wouldn't even say this, but let's just say this. We're all friends and family on a Wednesday night. That some of us have missed some of the biggest blessings in our lives because the blessing did not look like a blessing. The blessing did not smell like a blessing. The blessing was the wrong color. Come on now. The blessing was the wrong gender. The blessing was the wrong age. The blessing was something that was unexpected. The biggest blessings of your life, God is going to use the craziest things in your life to bless you. And so tomorrow when you leave your house, tonight on the way home, you better start looking at everybody saying, is this the one that could change my life? It's not always going to come from the penthouse. Sometimes it's going to come from the outhouse of life. Sometimes it's not going to come square at you looking like the blessing, looking like the mirror. Sometimes it's going to come dressed as a harlot, somebody with a past, somebody that has been looked over. God is going to use them. God's got somebody on the inside of your promised land that is working on your behalf. Bring them out. Bring them out. Said unto the men, verse 9, fast forward and just said unto the men, I know that the Lord, God had her. God had her where he needed her. God woke her up one day after she was doing all that she was doing and said, Rahab, I got a plan for you. And she was out there, and she was a prostitute. She was doing all of this crazy stuff. And here God begins to speak to her saying, I know you're a woman of the street. I'm going to use you to bring deliverance to my people, and at the end of this deliverance, you're going to be delivered. Come on now. The Bible says that God would cause men to give under your bosom. I love this. God's going to cause the men to give under your bosom, and then he's going to save the men. God said that there is wealth laid up for the righteous. Come on now. The unrighteous, there is a transfer of wealth that's going to happen. God's going to transfer the wealth, and then he's going to save that heathen. He's going to save that harlot. He's going to save that drug pusher. He's going to save that gangbanger. He's going to save that false religion. He's going to save them. He said, I know that the Lord has given you this land. Awesome. When the land starts saying, what we are is yours. What we have is yours. If those two spies need, they didn't get it from Joshua. Joshua wasn't there. Pastor and bishop weren't there. But the people that they thought were their enemies started saying, we know exactly what God has promised. Come on, let the enemies declare the goodness of the Lord. Let the enemies declare the promises of our God. Terror has fallen upon us. All the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. What a word. That don't worry if they stand up against you, because when you stand back up against them, they faint. Some of us are avoiding fights when all we've got to do is show up on the field. Some of us have been avoiding Goliath, and God's saying, I just need somebody to stone anybody. Some of us ran in 2019, and it's time to stop running. It's time to stand. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We just need somebody to stand. We've been running. We've been cowering. We've been cowards. It's time to stand. I've got the promise of God. I'm going to stand. I know what God has told me. I'm going to stand. I don't care what anyone else does. I'm going to stand. I don't care who it puts me with and takes me from. I'm going to stand. He said, our hearts, they faint. Faint because of you. Verse 10, man, testify. Heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. Came out of Egypt. What he did to the kings of the Amorites on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, utterly destroyed them. Come on, they're not even having to testify. The enemy is testifying for them. They're getting ready to open up their mouth and she's talking about how good God is. She's not a chosen person. She's not on the Lord's side. This prostitute in Jericho. She's talking about how good God is. Could it be tomorrow? The most vile person on your job is going to come and say, I've looked at you. I've watched you. God has blessed you. I've watched your marriage. I've watched your kids. I've watched your money. I've watched you move up the ranks here. I've seen all that. While you've been waiting, they're going to stand to themselves talking about the goodness of the Lord. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melt. Didn't melt. Neither did there remain any more courage. Remember, there could only be one courage, us or them. Because of you, the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above. Said unto Joshua, verse 24, as they go back, I said unto Joshua, the Lord has delivered all the land, all of the inhabitants, faint. Joshua, Moses, Joshua came. Moses had never been promised. Moses only saw the promise. Moses picks 12 men to go and see the promise. Two out of the 12 come back with a good report. Then come back with a bad report. This time Joshua picks two spies. Joshua said, I don't need 12, I need two. Because I know who's for me. I know who's going to go get a good report. I love this. And I hope, I don't want to bounce all over the place, but I hope this means something to somebody. God's going to bring you to the right people in 2020. And can I tell you where I'm at in my life? Quantity is not as good as quality. I don't need 12. Give me two. And I'll be able to discern the two that are going to go get the report I need. Because if he had sent the wrong two, they would have come back saying what the 10 said the first time. Saying, we can't do it. We won't do it. The walls are fortified. The cities are strong. The military is too much of a presence. But he knew the right two to send. Can I encourage you, get the right two people in your life in 2020. Get the right people to pray for you. Get the right people to help you praise. Get the right people to lift your hands. Come on, there's some people in your life that are straight up scrubs that have been dragging you down, that are always pointing out the negativity, always pointing out the things in your life that aren't right. You don't need none of that. Listen, I don't need somebody to point out my flaws. I know my flaws. I need somebody that is going to speak to me and say, don't give up, don't sit down, don't lay down, don't stay down. Get up and become what God has called you to be. Stand on your feet. Very quickly, Joshua 3, verse 1. This is directly following after they said, everybody has been delivered into our hands. They all faint because of us. Joshua gets up early the next morning to where the children of Israel were lodged, and it came to pass after 3 days. All of that, the last 5 weeks in this series, have encompassed 72 hours. He went through the officers of the host, and the host commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the priests, the Levites bearing it, you shall remove from your place and go after it. The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. It depicts the Word of God. It contained Aaron's budding rod, which it shows and illustrates the past testimony. It has the jar of manna, which shows us provision. So it's the presence of God. Move after it. God will never lead you where he will not take you. He will not go first. Always goes first. Gives them clear, distinct direction. Don't get within 2,000 cubits of the presence. Because the presence is so powerful that it's going to wipe out enemies. But it's so powerful that it's non-discriminatory. It'll wipe you out. Remember the guy who touched it and fell? Fell dead? So I see the ark and I see it moving and I go after it. Yet, verse 4, let there be 2,000 cubits by measure. I love this. Do not come near unto it, that you may know by which way you must go, for you have not passed this way before. What does that mean, new? You've never been this way before. You've never been this far. You've never been to this level. You've never been to this dimension. You've never been this anointed. You've never been this healthy. You've never been this wealthy. You've never been this wise. You've never been this happy. You've never been what you are about to be. You've never been this far. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Very simply, he said, tomorrow is the day of possession. The wonders of God done in your life, family, spirit. All of this last 5 weeks about possessing promise, about getting ready, it seems to fall short because so many are consumed with the wonders of God. Forget that there's a responsibility in us that we stay prayed up, that we allow the Holy Ghost to lead and give us discernment, to sanctify yourself, consecrate yourself, separate yourself. I believe that tomorrow starts a brand new opportunity. I said it this morning on social media, new day, fresh mercy. Thank you. Every time the sun sets and comes back up, it's a new day for you. Possess. Do today what you need to do to prepare yourself to possess tomorrow. Then do tomorrow what you need to do to possess the next day. Do in January what you need to do to possess in February. But don't move until God says to move. Watch him. Where he goes, I go. When he stops, I stop. I want to encourage people in this house today that you're tired of waiting. The waiting game is made you weary, has grown weary. You're in between promise and possession. You're frustrated, stressed out, feel the pressure. I'm telling you, I've been there before. No fun. It's no fun to have all this vision, but find it hard to get to that vision, see it come to pass. I'm talking to parents who've been praying for that prodigal son now for 8 years. I'm talking to husbands and wives who, you've been fighting each other and fighting for your marriage now for 3 years, and it doesn't seem to be getting better. For those that have been evicted more times than you'd like to admit, lost your job more times than you'd like to admit, spent way too much time in the hospital, more time than you'd like to admit. I'm talking to those that are living between promise and possession, and I want to encourage you, shake off all of the pride that would hold you to your seat. Join us in this altar today. Give Jesus another chance. Perhaps give Jesus the first chance that you've ever given him. Now is the time of promise, but tomorrow is the day of possession. Tomorrow you will see wonders, wonders of God. Got new fathers in this altar. Great families in this altar. Young people in this altar. Leaders in this altar. I don't pretend to know exactly what you're facing. I believe some of the things that we face, only God knows. We keep them private. We don't let anybody in the corner of our life where we keep that thing hidden. But God knows. And you don't have to tell us. But right now, I just pray that you'd give it all to God and say, God, whatever's not of you, just take it out. Those things that are prevented me, bitterness, take it out. What happened to me 15 years ago, take it out. Bad theology, take it out. All the strife in my life, take it out. Divisive thoughts, take it out. Bipolar disorder, take it out. Emotional instability, take it out. Spiritual instability, take it out. Why? Because I want to possess what you've called me to have, God, and I cannot do that. I cannot possess living the life of turmoil, the life of vacillation that I am. God, I pray that before we lay our hands on this group here at this altar, I pray, God, that the same thing you spoke to Joshua, you're speaking today. Get yourself sanctified. Consecrate yourself in this altar. Allow God to anoint a brand new thing in you. Allow God to speak a brand new word in you. Allow God to show a brand new vision to you. And sanctify yourselves in this moment. Church, let us at our seats sanctify ourselves. Consecrate ourselves. Setting ourselves aside for God's plan, God's work, God's hand. And say, God, if my expectation for tomorrow was to see wonders, I'm going to do what I have to today to make sure that I'm ready to cross over and possess what God has called me to possess. If you're in this house today and you don't know Jesus, very simply, you cannot get to heaven. There is no eternal life outside of Jesus Christ. I know it's not politically correct to say, but every other God that has ever been mentioned is a little g. Some of them do not even exist, have never walked the face of the earth. The ones that walk the face of the earth, little g gods, made promises and they're still laying in their grave today. But if you were to go thousands of miles to our east, you would find an empty grave.